I started seeing a therapist while I was also still in marriage counseling, and I had two main goals when I started: to trust my intuition again, and to decide what to do about my marriage. Well, in response, my new therapist challenged me to focus on what my reactions to the conflicts with my husband actually revealed about myself. But how can focusing on me solve an us problem? Well, maybe I was hoping for an exercise that I could do in a day to help with my decision. I'm sure you can relate, right? But nonetheless, I was willing to give it a go. After all, I certainly wasn't getting to a decision on my own. Little did I know that she was actually teaching me a practice that would be the answer I needed for both of my goals. This is Divorced and Determined AF, the show that supports women with the information you need to know before, during, and beyond divorce. My name is Jamie Milam, and I am determined to empower you to live the life that you desire and deserve through the power of awareness. Within each of us are a set of core needs, desires, beliefs, and values. And those triggers that you feel within your relationship conflicts, well, they're trying to reveal something to you about your core self. So are you ready to regain control of your triggers, identify your values, honor your needs, and rediscover your peace? Well, then stick around and prepare to transform your understanding of yourself, of your relationships, and your life. And when the episode wraps up, head over to peaceofminddivorce.info so that you can access our free divorce resource center just for women. Now, let's get started. Divorce is an overwhelming process that most of us did not know how to navigate until we were in the thick of it, which can cost us a lot more time, money, and energy than necessary. Divorced and Determined AF hopes to change that. I'm your host, Jamie Milam. I'm a realtor and a certified divorce specialist who not only works with divorcing couples when selling their home, but I am also divorced, and I know firsthand how much having thorough resources would positively impact women for years to come. I'm bringing together fellow divorcees and experts working in the field to talk about this private taboo topic, all with the goal to help you feel prepared, educated, assured, confident, and empowered to make informed decisions related to your divorce journey. So whether you're just now considering a divorce, in the midst of it, or are now navigating a new norm and are determined AF to do it your way, this is your safe space. You deserve it. Welcome back, ladies. I am happy you're here for this one because it's seriously one of the skills that has become fundamental in so much of my own personal growth. When I first started working with my individual therapist, I was separately in marriage counseling with my husband still, and we had been for about 8 months. And I remember in that initial consultation with my individual therapist that I had been very clear with her on two things. The first was that I really wanted to be reconnected with my intuition, my gut feeling. I truly felt like I was second guessing everything, and I just wanted to feel confident again to be able to hear and trust my own intuition. And the second was that I really needed to figure out what I was going to do about my marriage. I had been so on the fence, feeling one foot in and one foot out for so long that I just couldn't stand it anymore. And obviously, these two things certainly went hand in hand, right? Because if I was deeply connected to a gut feeling, then maybe I wouldn't have been on the fence for so long. So that's why today I want to focus in on the second element that placed me into my individual therapy journey. Because something that my therapist would say to me over and over was, why don't we focus on what the triggers that are coming up between the two of you are trying to tell you about you? And then we can focus on that and how you can then communicate them or honor those parts of you. And I would say, makes sense. But before you knew it, I would be in another session and I would be like, but I really just need to know, does this mean do I stay or do I go? In the beginning, it was hard to see how focusing on me was going to solve an us problem. But that's why I was engaging with a therapist so that I could do the work there until I could get into better practice on my own. And what I've learned over the years of working with her on this is that within each of us, we have a set of core needs, desires, beliefs, and values. And when you don't take time to listen for them and then to honor them, you're actually sending yourself these little subliminal signals that you don't value them. And those things are a part of you. So the deeper message is you don't value you. And that's when you can start to feel disconnected and out of alignment, which creates an opportunity for pressure and overwhelm and resentment to just slip in and pile on and compound. So let's talk about what this idea of focusing on you and the triggers that are affecting you really means. You see, it's a practice that entails learning to listen to your body and the cues that it gives for things that are happening around you that trigger you in some way. Sometimes these cues can be extremely obvious to you. For example, you might immediately become pissed off, or you might physically flinch at an action, whether that is like you flinch away, your body does, or maybe your face makes this grimacing look. But sometimes the cues are so subtle that they just fly right under the radar. And you might feel yourself feeling a little bit crankier than normal or distant from the things that you normally enjoy. You might just feel off, if that makes sense. And so they're really, really subtle. It's hard to notice. So when we're talking about these bodily cues and we're saying that some are obvious and some are subtle, the reason why that's important is because you want to learn how to identify these triggers, and that way you can start to identify what they're connected to. Now, the real obvious ones, the ones that you have this immediate bigger response to, whether it's that physical reaction or if it is that you suddenly find yourself in a real mood swing, these become a little bit easier for you to work on in this practice in the beginning because they tend to be an immediate response to something that has just occurred. So being able to make the connection of what the identifying cause was is likely a lot easier. So what would happen if I noticed a flinch or something really bothered me? These are the ones that I could quickly jot down maybe into my calendar notes so that I could come back to them and work through them in my next therapy session. And now I could say, okay, here's what I noticed that I was feeling, what my body did, and here's what had just happened that made me feel that way. And then I would take that into therapy so that we could work on identifying what's the actual deeper root cause of this issue, because so many things that are happening on the surface are really just a response to us for something that's happening at a much deeper level. So this is something that you can do too if you want to make sure that you're bringing that back into a safe space to work through it, whether it's with a therapist or a coach or even in your journal. You can put that into your calendar notes so that you can go back and reference it. That way you're not ignoring it. It doesn't mean that you always have to stop in that moment to work through it, especially if it's with somebody, if somebody is that trigger. You can just make a note and come back to it and try to figure out what this trigger is trying to tell you about you. I find that journaling can help begin to peel back the layers and dig in deeper. So I want to give you some questions that you can ask yourself when you're trying to uncover what's more at the root than just at the surface. One of my go-to questions is, why does that bother me? And then what you can do is ask yourself why that bothers you, whatever that first answer was there. You can ask yourself, what does this remind you of? What fear is associated with this? And I want to say to you that there's no judgment here. This is just about noticing what comes up. And I'm saying that not like judgment from me to you, but it's the judgment that you might have on yourself. It doesn't need to be logical for whatever these feelings and these answers are that are coming up. They don't need to be logical for them to be valid. The feelings that you have, they are valid simply because they exist and you are feeling them. Acknowledging them, that is only strengthening your self-confidence because you are acknowledging your self-worth. Digging into them helps you understand yourself and your experiences better so that you can then begin to make changes or choices that will support the life that you truly want to have. So you're just exploring, what are these feelings that I'm having and what's underneath that? What is it trying to tell me that I need or that I want or that I value? Something that is a little bit more in alignment with the way that I find peace. Now, when we talk about these harder cues, the ones that fly under the radar, this can be a little bit tougher. I remember a session where I was sharing with my therapist that I had been cranky all week. I had felt down and I really couldn't recall exactly what it was. And I just remember telling her, it's just been an off week. You know, we've been distant, but you know, I'm not really sure where it's coming from. And she said, okay, why don't we just take it back? Why don't you tell me about how the week went? So it wasn't until I started to go through the week's events that it suddenly hit me. And let me tell you, it was a doozy. It was that moment actually that I realized that our body sometimes goes into a protection mode called disassociation, which is initiating an unconscious defense mechanism that your brain uses to protect you from emotional pain. And this is especially true if you've experienced a lot of trauma in your life or even a traumatic event, and anything related to such an event could trigger this sort of response. Sure, I had heard of disassociation, but I hadn't realized how much I actually experienced it until we were going through the week's events and it hit me. And once I began casually outlining those events and then got to this one particular thing, that's when I was like, holy shit, I cannot believe I didn't remember that. It was so painful, y'all, and it hurt me to the core. My brain tried to disassociate, but my body was clearly still feeling the effects of it, hence why I felt off all week and why I just felt down and sad and distant and disconnected. And I was able to work through that in my therapy session, of course, in a safe and guided space. And once I was aware of not only what the trigger was and how I may have disassociated from it, but also what it was that made it occur, I was not able to ignore it any further. The reason I bring this up is because this was one of these harder triggers for me to identify, because I tried to shove it down and shove it away completely without intention. It was something that my body just did naturally. And yet, it was probably one of the deepest wounds that it was really hitting. So I was able to identify why it was such a trigger to me and what would I need in order to feel that I was honoring this part of me, that I was taking some sort of control on my end that helped me feel back in alignment, that I was valuing that part of myself and honoring what I needed around that. And so you can ask yourself questions like, what is my desired outcome? How will I create a boundary that supports this part of me? Is there something that I wish I could communicate that I haven't? How would I feel if I clearly communicated my needs? Ladies, I have learned that a deep sense of self-awareness helps you identify the internal and the external factors that affect your peace and affect your alignment. And once you start to know these parts of you at a deeper level, you cannot ignore them. Because if you do, it then feels like you're ignoring yourself, which just creates a more intense feeling of internal discomfort. You begin to recognize that all of this listening and identifying and understanding of your triggers is ultimately all about knowing what you need and desire and how you can then honor those parts of yourself regardless anyone else's actions. What is in your control? Because none of us can control someone else's actions or behavior. We cannot change them. So what can be done that is in your control? It might mean creating a boundary for yourself and upholding it. It may mean having a tough conversation. It may mean that you comfort yourself with a little bit more self-care as you continue to navigate it. We can communicate our needs and desires in a healthy manner, and when we do so, we're doing it for us, regardless of what the other person's response is. It means that we recognize that part of us that has this need, and we find ourselves worthy enough to value them rather than ignore them. It means that you value yourself, babe. And the beautiful part of this practice is that you begin to see in front of your eyes what is and isn't in alignment for you. Astonishingly, these torn feelings that you have begin to work themselves out, and the pathway reveals itself to you. Because when you learn to listen to yourself and you pay attention to what your triggers mean about you, and you're willing to get curious about those and honor what is revealed to you, you'll naturally start to experience peace within, even through really hard revelations, because you'll start to feel it deep inside you what the right choice is for you. So my challenge for you is this. Whenever you feel triggered by something, I want you to imagine that you suddenly had your younger self, maybe your four-year-old self, standing in front of you. If you can find a picture of yourself at that age, I encourage you to pull that out and put that in your journal and look at this picture. Imagine her standing in front of you. And I want you to say to her, "I noticed that something seems to be upsetting you." Give her a hug. Tell her that you're here for her. Ask her what happened. What's upsetting her? Tell her that you know that she's upset, but it's going to be okay because you're here now to help her figure it out. I personally find that this exercise is helpful because it allows me to avoid any self-shame or self-judgment, because I wouldn't tell my little one to just ignore it or you shouldn't be feeling this way. I would hug her and I would comfort her. I would acknowledge the feelings that come up with compassion and then dig into what it is that is actually bothering you. If it's something that somebody is doing to you or that you're experiencing from another person, try to separate the behavior from that person, which will help you understand what values are associated with the behavior that isn't matching up for you. This separation will help you continue to make decisions about your environments, your relationships, and your general options in life that will support your values, which will create a longer lasting alignment than a short term one specific to just that particular person or action triggering you. And in the back of your mind, as you're still navigating some of the heavier decisions, such as, do I stay or do I go? Well, you can maybe now see that these triggers are opportunities to learn more about yourself and connect to those parts, because they're worthy of being heard. You are worth being listened to. You are worth honoring those needs. Well, babe, what do you think? Does it sound like something you're willing to try? When it comes to things that happen in your relationship that trigger an emotional or physical response in you, it's helpful to think of it as an opportunity to learn something new about yourself. Rather than letting your triggers control you, take this new perspective and lean into it to understand yourself deeper. Listen for and pay attention to those cues that your body gives you. Dig into them with curiosity so that you can uncover what needs aren't being met, what boundaries are being crossed, and what values might be out of alignment in this dynamic that you're in. Honor your findings in a way that are within your control, reinforcing your self-worth. By learning to listen to your inner self and honoring those parts of you, you're teaching yourself that you are valuable, that you value yourself, that you know your worth, which offers you a sense of inner peace that no one can take from you. That's what we're all about here, helping you find peace in all of this. So if you haven't already, go check out peaceofminddivorce.info and sign up to access the free resource library that we have over there that offers some easy to digest handouts and checklists while you're navigating this whole thing. Until next week, friend, I wish you nothing but peace and determination.